there was really quite a clear and strong message that came from participants at this meeting. You know, that people in the Pacific Islands have an awful lot to teach the rest of the world about effective emergency preparation and response. And they were really calling for stronger partnerships with communities between, you know, the humanitarian system and communities before and during and after emergencies. One of the things they said to us is that, you know, communities don't compartmentalize relief, disaster risk reduction and climate change. It's simply survival. So there's a real call for us to focus on the quality of development that comes before emergencies, as well as making sure that there's a seamless transition back to development after recovery and response.
And speaking about climate change, it's really affecting some of the lower-lying islands there in the Pacific. But can these challenges really be addressed, and how?
Well, it's a difficult question. You know, we have the president of Kiribati, Anote Tong, who said to us, you know, at the rate we're going, it doesn't seem likely that we will be able to keep what we have for children. So that's a pretty powerful statement to make, and Kiribati is one of those countries that has, in fact, bought some land in Fiji as almost an insurance policy for the future. Tuvalu, another low-lying Pacific atoll, the average height above sea level there is 1.8 metres. And the Prime Minister there was saying that during Cyclone Pam, waves of 4 to 5 metres in height were crashing over this country. So it's quite hard to comprehend how scary that must be and the type of damage that it must cause.
And now what happens next? What's the next step?
Well, again, we heard the president of Kiribati say we talk too much about climate change. We need to act. He said that he was in Sendai talking about climate change when Cyclone Pam hit, and that really there's no time to delay. You know, the World Humanitarian Summit will be held in May 2016 in Istanbul, but there are really concrete changes and commitments that people could be taking away from this conference, ready to implement immediately. We have an opportunity both to lead in terms of the steps we're taking around climate change and preparedness and adaptation and mitigation, but we also have an opportunity to call the rest of the world to account as the people who are suffering most directly the consequences of climate change. Immediately after Cyclone Pam, we at UNICEF, we travelled around Vanuatu and we spoke to children who have been affected by this cyclone. And we asked children for their opinions and on what had happened. And this 12-year-old boy told me, he said in the past, people didn't really think about what could happen to their homes. So they built houses that looked nice but weren't very strong. After the cyclone, people realised their mistake, but it was already too late. So it's absolutely critical that we listen not only to communities, but also to the voices and wisdom of children as well. And that's something that came through quite strongly as well.
Is there anything else you would like our listeners to know in relation to the regional conference ahead of the World Humanitarian Summit or about the work of UNICEF in the Pacific region?
Just to note that, as we said, the climate change is a reality in the Pacific region. Even as this conference was coming to an end, we were preparing for truly unseasonal flooding and cyclone in Solomon Islands, which we're now working to support the response to. So these things are becoming more frequent, droughts are becoming more severe, and cyclones are becoming stronger. I was in Vanuatu during Cyclone Pam, during a Category 5 cyclone, and it was like nothing I've ever experienced, and I don't wish that on anybody. But this is the reality, and we have, you know, Vanuatu is now the world's most disaster-prone country. So what we're really seeking across the region is concrete action, and UNICEF is working with communities and children to build resilience and support resilience and reduce vulnerability to disasters. This includes investments in things like school-based disaster risk reduction and in real-time monitoring and evaluation to make sure that we get help to those who need it most.